You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Indiana Pacers have won three games in a row and will look to win their fourth one tonight against the Utah Jazz. Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. I am one of the co-hosts of the lovely LOP, Locked On Pacers Show. That's what it stands for. On today's show, I'm obviously going to preview the Utah Jazz game tonight, and I'm going to end the podcast talking about an article I recently wrote for IndyCornrows.com on Victor Oladipo possibly transitioning to point guard sometime in the future. Let's get right to the Jazz preview and some quick data on the Jazz. The Jazz are 25th in offense and 3rd in defense. That's how they managed to stay afloat at 34-30, only a game and a half back of the 8th seed in the Western Conference, so they are still fighting for a playoff spot. Jazz are also 26th in pace, which is a complete opposite of the Pacers, who are 6th in pace this season. The Jazz best player this season, when he's healthy, has been Rudy Gobert. Gobert is averaging a 13-10 on the season, and since his return from injury in his last 19 games, he's putting up a 15-11. On the season, he has a ridiculous 122 offensive rating with a 101 defensive rating, probably one of the best plus-minus ratings in the NBA right now. Gobert will be a handful for Miles Turner to handle and Domantas Sabonis. I expect Turner to start on him tonight, but we could see Sabonis come in pretty quickly if Turner can't handle the size of Gobert. For Turner to beat Gobert, he's going to have to stretch the floor. We're going to see a lot of Turner doing pick and pops, shooting threes. Hopefully, if Turner can knock down a couple of his early jump shots, he'll force Gobert out of the paint, opening it up for guys like Victor Oladipo and Corey Joseph to get to the rim. The Jazz's second best player is Donovan Mitchell. Mitchell is averaging 19.8 points per game. The rookie is having probably the best season of any rookie. I'd vote for him Rookie of the Year. I know people out in Philly are Ben Simmons fans, but I'm a Donovan Mitchell fan. He had a 40-point game earlier this year. Donovan Mitchell on the offensive end is incredible. He's not quite the level Simmons is on the defensive end, but I think Donovan Mitchell's been the best rookie of this season so far. You know, he doesn't play with a guy like Joel Embiid. I know he played with Gobert, but Gobert's been hurt a lot of this season. Mitchell's averaging, like I said, 19.8 points per game. He'll be guarded most of the night by a combination of Corey Joseph and Victor Oladipo. I imagine Joseph will play him most of the night the same way Joseph played Beal on Sunday when they played the Wizards. But you could see some Oladipo switches onto him. They're definitely going to try to switch some of the bigger guys onto Mitchell. I'd expect to see a lot of pick and roll with the Gobert-Mitchell combination, try to get Turner onto Mitchell. Mitchell is extremely fast. You know, he plays well around the rim just like Victor Oladipo. They're kind of similar players. I think Mitchell is a better ball handler than Oladipo. Well, maybe not, but at least is perceived as one. That's what kind of the matchup to watch, really, is kind of the Oladipo-Mitchell matchup, because those are probably the two best offensive threats on both teams. Some other players on the Jazz to look towards are Joe Ingles. Joe Ingles is basically the worst version of Bojan Bogdanovic. He's a pretty good three-point shooter. He leads the Jazz in their three-point shooting, but he's not quite as dynamic as Bojan at least has been in the last, you know, since the beginning of February. Bojan's been incredible. We talked about that yesterday on our podcast. Listen to that to see our gushing of Bojan. But Ingles is kind of a poor man's Bojan in some sense. They'll probably guard each other most of the night. I don't expect it to be a hard night for Bojan. I do expect Bojan to be more aggressive on the defensive end, you know, hands up, deflecting balls. He did a little bit of that against the Bucks, but to see more of that, especially because he won't be as tested as he is most of the times when they put, you know, a lot of faster guys. I expect, you know, Bojan to be they're going to switch him onto Mitchell a little bit too. We'll see if that happens. But overall, Joe Ingles is not a huge threat. He's a good three-point shooter. You really just can't let him get hot, which is going to be Bojan's task. Another player to watch is the Derek Favors, Jonas Derebko combination. Favors did not play Monday with back spasm. He is not listed on the injury report right now. That could change, obviously. I'm recording this on Tuesday at 4:35, so that could change. But if Favors doesn't play, Derebko will get the starting spot. He's more of a stretch four. Favors is more of a traditional four. If Favors does play, I expect to see actually Trevor Booker come into the game more. You could see Booker kind of taking the TJ Leaf minutes. I could see Thad Young having a quick trigger to pull out early to get Booker some minutes early on Favors. Because I think you'd rather have Thad guarding Derebko off the bench and have Booker guarding Favors because of the size thing. I think if Favors does play, it might be the end of TJ Leaf's time if Booker plays well. I don't expect Booker to play more than 5 minutes. Leaf has been playing 5 minutes a game. Basically, he's been playing the second quarter stretch, basically like the late end of first to early second, like this 5 minute stretch from the 2 minute mark in the first quarter to the, let's say, 8 minute mark in the second quarter. That's where Booker will play. If Booker plays well, he might get a go at it again in the fourth, in the third and fourth quarter, but don't expect Booker to play more than 5 to 10 minutes tops in this game. You know, he's only been the team now. It'll be 4 days as of Wednesday. On the Pacers side of things, obviously their biggest advantage is going to be with Victor Oladipo. Last time they played the Jazz, when they beat him 109-106, Vic was a plus 27 with 28 points. Vic was incredible. He looked almost unstoppable for a little while getting to the rim. That's what they got to do again. You know, the Jazz are traveling. It's the first game of a three-game road trip for them, so they're not going to be exhausted like they would be if it was, you know, the third game of a five-game road trip or whatever. So it's, there's not going to be that advantage, but I imagine Oladipo will be guarded by Rubio. They'll try to switch that obviously a lot, especially with Gobert size. You know, it'll be up to Turner to, you know, get Gobert out of the paint, and if he does, you could see Depot really going to the rim a lot. But, you know, Oladipo's probably going to live with that 12-foot jumper a lot, and if he hits that thing like at the 67% mark he does some games, they'll be fine and they'll win this game. You know, another player obviously to watch, I think, is Bojan, who has been incredible. I know I said it like 2 minutes ago, but he's been incredible. If he can put up 20 points again, this team, the Pacers should be able to kind of cruise to a victory. I think the Jazz are a little bit worse than them, but they're not like, you know, that far below their league. You know, the Pacers and Jazz are probably separated by, I think, two and a half games in the win-loss column. So, you know, the Jazz are on somewhat the level of the Pacers, but the last time they played without Gobert, the Pacers just rocked the Jazz. You know, they won by 13, but the score was not indicative of how much of a blowout the game was. Another thing to kind of watch, Collins is not going to play, which means Cordusset will start. He's been starting for now, I think, going on 8 games, give or take. That was something to watch just because, obviously, without Collison, who played last time, it's the difference between the last 2 games. Then the last thing I want to hit is Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis. I teased it a little bit earlier, but I think for the Pacers to be successful, Turner has to be able to hit his three-point shot consistently in this game. So if Turner hits his first three-point shot, his first 18-foot jumper, hits three of his first four, whatever it is, this game will be a completely different game than we, you know, anticipate, let's say, with Gobert being completely less dominant. We've seen it in multiple games before against kind of the more traditional bigs. Against the Heat, the one time the Pacers won, Turner got really hot from the outside, and that forced Hassan Whiteside out to guard him, and that changed the game. Basically, when the Pacers blew them out. Same thing when the Pacers played the Hornets the first time at home. When Turner started hitting his jump shot a ton, it forced Howard out of the paint, and that changed the game as well. So that's the big thing. If Turner can really make his jump shot lethal and, you know, have to be guarded, this game, again, will be an easy win for the Pacers. End of the day, I think the Pacers probably win this one by 5 or 10 points. I think Turner probably is semi-effective as jump shot. I think he might hit his first three, but then he might fade like he usually does in the second quarter, late first, second quarter is kind of a jump shot, and then they'll stop respecting it. It'll be up to Turner really in the third quarter. That's kind of where the Pacers always make their run, is that third quarter. If Turner can hit, you know, let's say 3 jump shots in that third quarter, probably change his game and allow Oladipo to go to the rim a ton. But it'll come out of that. I think they do pull it out just because it's at home. This team seems to have a lot of confidence all of a sudden. After those 2 losses last week, they've sort of kicked it back into high gear. They've now beat 3 straight playoff teams. This will be the 4th kind of borderline playoff team they'll beat if they can win on Wednesday. So I think they win, let's say, 110-102 is the final score. Coming up next, I'm going to talk a little bit about Oladipo playing point guard and discuss my Indy Cornrows article. Earlier this morning, if you're listening to this podcast on the Wednesday, the day it came out, I posted an article on IndyCornrows.com, where I write once a week for them, about the prospects of Victor Oladipo possibly changing to point guard in the future to really push the Pacers to that next level. So I started with this premise that Victor Oladipo, since Darren Collison has been hurt, has been playing a lot more minutes as the primary ball handler. You know, you see it at the end of games already, but a lot of times in the fourth quarter, Darren Collison sits on the bench while Corey Joseph or Lance plays next to Oladipo. Oladipo then becomes the primary ball handler, usually the guy that has to either get the pick and rolls to the rim or kind of setting up the offense. It's been a little bit less effective recently. On Wednesday and Sunday, teams have started to double team Oladipo out of it, but the thing Oladipo's got to now do is kick to Turner. Usually the pick is with Turner, and they'll figure that out. I'm not worried about it. You know, Oladipo did have 3 turnovers against the Bucks in the final 3 minutes when he was the primary ball handler, but I think that was more an aberration than a thing that's been, you know, not a consistent thing for him all season. He's been really consistent at keeping his turnovers down. You know, one stat I really looked at was his turnover rate. So Oladipo started his career as a point guard in Orlando and quickly was faded to shooting guard because he had this – he had basically a 20% turnover rate, which means like, you know, every 100 times he controlled the offense and turned over the ball, one every five, which is not very good. Well, this year his turnover rate is down to about 12.1%, and that's with him having the highest usage rate of his career at 30.5. You know, he obviously is the Pacers' primary scorer at times, is the go-to guy, end of games, all that stuff. But if you watch him next to Corey Joseph, Corey Joseph plays really well off the ball. It's something that makes Corey Joseph so dynamic, too, is that he can play on the ball or off the ball. But Joseph provides the defense at Oladipo, you know, at the end of games. Oladipo doesn't have to guard the best shooter, the best guard on the other team. Corey Joseph can, allows him to relax. But Joseph also provides that stretch threat really well when Oladipo has the ball. You know, the best thing the Pacers can do for Oladipo is when he's the primary ball handler is have five shooters around him. You see it with Bojan. You know, Turner comes at the pick. Oladipo rolls to the rim. A lot of times he'll find Bojan open, or he'll go right to the rim and score. But this idea of Oladipo being the primary ball handler slash point guard might go to a next level. What I mean by that is, you know, instead of seeing it just like an isolated thing where they run it, you know, let's say they run it the last 5 minutes of every game, and they run it, you know, let's say they run it 8 to 10 minutes a game when he plays about 30, let's say 35 minutes a game. They could run it really more like 25 minutes a game, kind of the way James Harden runs the offense in Houston. If they did that, it would, you know, you need a little more out of Depot. He has to be a little more willing to give up the ball and not necessarily run that pick and roll all the time. But I think with a full offseason, you could definitely get Depot into this kind of comfortable role of being the primary ball handler. One, because he is such a threat from three. His pull-up for a while was – full-up three was awesome. His pull-up jumper inside 15 feet is incredible. He's the 30 guard of the rim, obviously. And all the things kind of make it harder for defenses to guard him. You know, he's a threat when he's running around, but – he's more of a threat really on the ball. You know, it's kind of the same way Russell Westbrook is more of a threat when he has the ball in his hands than off the ball. You know, you watch Russell Westbrook shoot threes, and you're not afraid of him getting open for three like you are with Curry, but you are afraid if Westbrook has the ball in his hands that he can get to the rim, get past the defender. That causes defense to collapse around him and allow him to kick it out to guys. You know, Bojan's been the best benefit of Depot doing that this year. So it'll be interesting to see if McMillan can sort of do that. If they do that, obviously, it would mean Collison would be on the out, but they could bring in, you know, a shooting guard type guy to play next to him. Like Avery Bradley would be a perfect fit. I think Trevor Ariza would work. I think Patrick Beverley, you know, those type of guys who are 3-and-D kind of guards would be perfect next to Depot. Because if you look at Depot's stats, he really is like a 21-7-5 every game. It's 21 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, which is a little more than his previous, the star you replaced in the Pacers, who was more of a 22-7-2 kind of guy, where Depot kind of looked for that pass. You know, we saw it against Atlanta. He had that great pass to Turner where he saw him. He faked out the defender and threw it. You know, I know he makes mistakes sometimes, but every point guard makes mistakes. You know, I think against Milwaukee on Monday, he should have just went to the rim on that last play instead of passing out to Bojan. But it worked out. They won. But you've seen it, you know, in game after game, but it's close. The Pacers, at the last 5 minutes, kind of scrap running an offense and just say, we're going to put the ball in Depot's hand off the rebound. We're going to set a pick and let him figure it out. And he almost always does. You know, it's why they're 37-27, because they win a ton of close games. You know, I don't think that there's a stat on – there's probably a stat on games they win that are within 5 points or within a basket with less than a minute left, but they consistently win those games, it seems like, at times. You know, I'm thinking of the Nets game in December. I'm thinking of the Celtics game in February. I'm thinking of the Denver game back – in November, or no, was it November or January, 1-2, that Denver game was incredible. I mean, all these times where the Pacers said, we're losing or we're too close, we're going to clear out and we're going to let Depot get to the rim and score. And he almost either gets to the rim, gets fouled, or finds the right pass to, you know, the dump off to Thad or Sabonis cutting the rim kind of play. So I think Depot really has a future as a point guard. Now that his turnover rate is down, his body is, you know, he's in the best shape of his life. He really looks like a point guard once again. You know, before, to be honest, he looked a little bit kind of heavy to be a point guard. Now he's kind of cut. He looks like he's ready to be a point guard. I think that's the next step the Pacers take, because if they make him the point guard, you can really find a lot of good shooting guards to kind of play next to good point guard. But it's hard to find that elite point guard per se. So, you know, this season, really, he's probably the third best guard in the Eastern Conference. You know, fourth, you know, I think it's Kyrie, DeRozan, and then him and Beal combined with that third spot. Well, you know, I think Beal should be a point guard. He plays next to Wall, so maybe not, but that's where Depot's future is kind of the Kyrie model, Westbrook model point guard, which is possible and really could kind of help the Pacers push them to the next level, because you can find a lot. I think you can find a shooting guard to go next to him better than you can find a point guard to go next to him. That's all I got for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us reviews on iTunes. We're also on Stitcher, not SoundCloud, on Stitcher and all the other podcast sites. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. You can follow me on Twitter at FreedmanAdam5. Leave me comments, tweet at me questions, whatever you have. We're going to be doing a mailbag podcast, I guess, sometime in the next 2 weeks. So look forward to that. And that's all I got for this Locked On Pacers podcast. So have a great rest of your day.